Now, well, let me stop here. Testimonies are good sometimes. I want Robert to share a little bit concerning giving in his life. By the way, what I've shared about tithing and giving, I believe that that is one of the absolute main areas where God judges whether your heart is for him or not. I'm convinced of that. And it only makes sense even in the natural, because in everything that you're dealing with, when it comes to authority and when it comes to government and all the rest of it, what's the biggest issue? What's the biggest transaction? It always has to do with finances. And if you look in the scripture, Jesus dealt more with finances. It's incredible the amount of times that he, almost every parable he spoke about had something to do with finances. So I believe that is a crucial thing as an expression of where we're at with the Lord. Robert, you go ahead and share.
I thought I'd get out of it because I want to speak a little bit about tithing this morning. As I went to sleep last night, I was kind of talking to God, asking God, what does tithing mean to me? What has it done for me and what does it mean to me? And as I woke up this morning, I was thinking about just the scripture that Pastor Bill was talking about in Malachi, will a man rob God? And then I thought, well, what am I robbing God of if I don't pay my tithe? And I was thinking, one of the things that God has given me right from the get-go was peace, you know, and how God wants us to pay our tithe, he says, so he can get a blessing over to us. So actually what we're robbing God of, it's already his tithe. We're not robbing him just of the money that he's already given of us, we're robbing him of him being able to bless us. Because we're shutting down either that avenue or that door where God would bless us with more than just finances, but with peace. Because if you have peace, there's a lot of times I know since Mary and I have been saved where we wouldn't be able to say that it looked like all the money was there, that things were going to be taken care of. You know, there was different times where we thought, well, maybe we may have to go through bankruptcy, maybe, to get out of this. But we were still diligent in paying our tithe, and God has brought us out of that. Last winter, I've been plowing snow for a guy for 4 years, and last winter, after the first snowfall, he said, that's it, I'm done, I'm quitting. So all of a sudden I thought, well, here goes an extra, quite a bit of money that we had coming in this winter that we're not gonna have. So what do I do now, Lord? You know? And God has a way of turning things around from us being working for somebody to now we're the boss and we have maybe 50 people working for us. He has a way of turning it around, and I believe being diligent with the tithe is a way God can just turn things around when it doesn't look like things are going that great, but you can still have peace through it all. Anyway, that's what I wanted to mention on the tithe.
Can you just tell a little bit what you mentioned to me about, years ago, the first time you ever heard about it?
Probably 20 years ago or more, when Margie's foster parents were still alive up west. I remember being up there and going out, doing something, and Margie and her dad were home in the house by themselves. And on the way home, this was before we were saved or Christians or anything, Margie said, I was talking to Dad today, and he said, you guys need to get yourself into a church, and I'm not saying what kind of church, and you need to start giving 10% of what you make to that church. So Margie says this to me, and I say, Yeah, right. What the heck would I want to give 10% of what I make to the church for? You know what I mean? I couldn't see any kind of rational reason why you do that, you know? And it's just because we were blinded to that. We didn't know that it's a way to get God's blessing in your life or God's peace in that area. So that was pretty cool. He knew all about it, you know, and he was just trying to get it over to us. But through prayer and people, you know, watching out for you, that we finally got it.
Yes, thanks, Robert. The thing that hit me as soon as he told me that story, I immediately thought about getting your prayers answered. Now, I know that Margie's foster parents would have been praying for Margie. And they seen a shift in Robert and Margie's life. And actually, what happened to them was exactly what Waldo said to us to do. And so their prayers were answered. I relate that back to here was a man who was diligently in this area of obeying God in this area of the tithe. And he wanted to teach it to people he loved. So his prayers came forth. His prayers, I believe that, you know, obedience to God brings forth the supernatural in our lives. And as we're obedient to him, things will begin to happen. Now, just think about this for a moment. Even if you didn't believe that tithing was for the New Testament, because some people don't. Some people think that it was done away with in the law, because it was under the law. Well, the Bible I read says it was before the law and it was after the law. It's pretty clear to me. But even if we held to that, let's read this here. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus is giving some instruction here to people about their attitudes, really. He says, "You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery." Well, that was certainly spoken under the law. "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart." Under grace, under law, it says if you commit adultery, if you go to the act of it, you're in trouble. But under grace, if you even look at a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So it seemed like grace is taking us a lot further than the law ever suggested that we needed to go. So even when it comes to our giving, under grace, if the law said 10%, which I don't believe was, it was included in the law, but it was not confined to the law, even if it was confined to the law, under grace, God speaks to us to go further in that. Now, it's always interesting to me. I don't, you know, I'm spending quite a bit of time on this morning, which I don't usually do, but I believe it's crucial and it's essential for you and I as a body of believers to walk in obedience to the Lord. Because as God gives us guidance and directions of how to be blessed, usually for the most part, if we've got a brain in our head at all, then we would want to do the things that would bring blessing into our lives. If we want the devourer rebuked in our lives, then we should do the things that would cause the devourer to be rebuked in our lives. Let's go to Luke 16, verse 10. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much." So the Lord is saying here, if you're unfaithful in little things, then you're not going to be given bigger things to be unfaithful with, because you're going to be unfaithful with those big things if you're unfaithful with little things. So Jesus is exhorting us and using little things to give us an indication of how we will function when we get into bigger things. Verse 11, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you true riches?" And what's true riches when you stop and think of it? When you stop and think of the presence of God. Who will trust you with the true riches? Well, the true riches is the presence of God. And so God is not going to come and envelope us when we are not being good stewards with what he already gives us. So the key is, are we good stewards with what we got? Are we good stewards with the things that he brings into our hands so that his presence will come? Because with his presence comes other good things in our lives. Look in 3 John. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, I want you to notice here. Our giving is not tied to just financial things. He told us that if we would obey him in finances, that he would rebuke the devourer on our behalf. But here he ties our prosperity to the area of health. I pray that you might be prosperous and be in health even as your soul prospers. So one of the areas that we have to look at as we are looking to God to receive healing, are we obeying him in these other areas that we use every single day? Are we being good stewards with that? If we are, we can believe that with him comes healing. God said in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, I am the God that healeth thee. So with him comes the healing for our bodies as well. We want to be in that place where he will pour out his presence upon us. When we give, we are saying that, Lord, we trust you for our sustenance. We trust you in every area. We want to walk in obedience in this area because this is the main area that will show our confidence in him meeting our every need. Because we take our finances and we buy the things that we need with our finances on a daily basis. There's hardly anything that we do without using some kind of finances. And if God has, if we haven't allowed him to touch that, to take that which is, give back to him that which is his, and it's not really given back to him, it's because he already owns it, it all belongs to him. We are just simply releasing it to him. And then as we do that, the rest, the 90% is sanctified, that it will go further than 100% would if we had the whole thing. But when we give, we bring God into the situation, into the picture. No matter what it is we're involved in. I believe that this touches relationships, this touches health, this touches deliverance, this touches everything that we do. Because when the presence of God comes, demons have to flee. When the presence of God, the windows are open and showers of heaven come down. Now, it's interesting about that. God says, I'll open the windows of heaven for you. But he says that if you read that scripture, you look and in the natural, it's talking about he'll pour out rain upon the land of Israel. And, they needed rain for the crops. But there's one thing very clear there. Just recently or this summer, and when we put our septic system here for the fellowship hall, there was a large area that was all soil, it was just topsoil. Rain could have came on that all summer, and all you'd have grown up was weeds if we hadn't put any seed in it. You and I are people who have to sow seed, plant seed, do some things that God can bless. And as we pour ourselves out into something that God can pour blessing on, then when the rain comes, it'll begin to grow. What do I mean by that? Well, if you want to sow seed, you might want to bless your neighbor. You might have somebody around you that you want to show a kind act to. There's some things that you might even come to your mind when you're in prayer, that things that you should do. Well, you have an opportunity there to sow seed. And then when the water gets poured out upon it, it'll begin to come forth. And it'll begin to produce something. But if you don't sow seed, you don't get a harvest. When the water comes out, it just looks like a mud paddy like that would out there if we hadn't put any seed on there. But it didn't take much water, and now it's all green out there. But it does take faith. And I believe that's why the Lord puts this in Scripture in such a way that he knows, you know what? If they're going to take 10% of what they spent their week getting, and they're going to give that to me, then they're not going to do that without faith. They're just not going to do it. They're just not going to do it if they don't think that I'm able to meet their needs. They're just not going to do it. Nobody in their right mind would do it if they thought that this was something that that God wasn't interested in, and God wasn't involved in. God wasn't involved in my finances at all. God doesn't care about my finances, doesn't care if I prosper or not. So why would I do that? But it takes faith to take what you spent good time and hard work to do. You take that and you present it before God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. As we do that, that pleases God. And that opens the door for blessing. And I believe that God wants to bring us to a place where, and when I'm talking about blessing, folks, I'm not talking merely about material things, especially just money. Money is a minor thing. Money is not the true riches. Robert mentioned true riches, the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's from heaven. That's the true riches. The true riches come from heaven, not from the materials of this world. I'm after the true riches, the presence of God. I hope you are too. The true riches. But if we are not diligent with the little things, if we are not trustworthy with the little things, we're not going to get His true riches. True riches is souls coming out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I don't have confidence going to talking to somebody about the kingdom of God if I haven't obeyed the principles of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us today, folks. I believe it. I mean, I prayed about this, and it just kept welling up in me. And I believe we're not only talking about it for ourselves, we're talking about bringing souls into the kingdom of God. We're talking about releasing the presence of God in our communities, not just in our churches, in our communities. We're talking about releasing God's presence. Robert, I believe you need to tell them about your dream. God gives us little hints sometimes about the importance of bringing people into the kingdom.
Lots of times since I've been saved, God has given me pretty vivid dreams of different things. But the last little while, I hadn't had any, probably a couple of years. So I was just talking to God one day and said, I don't get any dreams anymore, Lord. Like, I just said that. I'd like to have a dream. So a few weeks later, I was sleeping, and I was dreaming. And in my dream, I was kind of down in a, I didn't see it was a castle, but it would look like a dungeon area where they would torture people. And they had one of them big apparatuses where they'd hook your arms and hook your legs out and kind of give you a good stretch. And people were ahead of me, but they were on this thing, they were being stretched, but they were going almost like on a conveyor belt ahead of me like this. And I could see down further what they were doing. I was lying on my stomach, and what they were doing, they were pouring hot molded steel on these people's backs. And I was like really scared. I could feel my heart just pounding. I couldn't get out. You know, pull as hard as you want, couldn't get out. So as we were going through like this, I could see just up on the wall over here this guy standing up, and he looked even more terrified than what I was. He hadn't gotten on the table yet. And as I passed him, I could just see the fear on him, and I was saying, oh, this guy's really scared. And I was thinking, there's no way me getting out of this. I'm next. So when I got up to the guy who was going to pour the steel on, the hot mold of steel, I asked him, I said, listen, there's no way me getting out of this, but is there any way that I could take his to save him from going through this? Anyway, that was my dream. So when I woke up, I was like, that was a dream, Lord. What's that all about, you know? And I just felt like God said, that's what I did for you. You know? Anyway, just put a whole new perspective on what he'd done, because as I was feeling scared going up to this, I was thinking about Jesus being in the garden, how He was asking His Father, if it could be taken away from me, take this away from me, you know. But not my will, your will be done. So it just kind of gave me a little insight of some of what He went through. Amen. In the garden.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when He told me that immediately, what I thought of was He can be talking to somebody who needs to be saved someday. And He can say, I had this dream. And tell that dream. And then He can end it by, you know, for me, it was just a dream. But Jesus did the real thing for you. Jesus did the real thing. He took it. He took what you couldn't. He took that thing that terrifies you. And I believe with all my heart that just as Robert was saying that in the midst, even in the dream, terror came. We have no idea the terror that comes when people are placed, when judgment comes upon the world. We have no concept of that. But we do have the answer. We do have the answer if we will share that. And I encourage us, maybe if you know somebody that's not saved, you can get, if you get an opportunity, to tell them, a friend of mine just had a dream, and this is what he dreamt. And you can use the same thing to be able to share it to somebody else, that Jesus took it all. Jesus took it all. That is why I am so absolutely thrilled to give everything I got for the kingdom of God. That's why I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these other things will be added. That's why I want to put Him first in my life. That's why I want to operate by the principles of the kingdom of God. And as we do, the Holy Spirit comes and increases His presence in the name of Jesus. Stand with me, please.